You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this is Jay Caulfield's song. This takes you back. This is when Jay was in his heyday. Skating around, beating up people, and doing it to this music.
Is this what he listened to before games, Bob?
Maybe he did. It was a calming influence, and then, boom.
Jay Caulfield is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's also a Stanley Cup champion. Jay, how are you today? What did you think of Bob's intro?
Well, Bob, the song, you know, Bob, just the way you introduced it, but I got to tell you, that wouldn't be our song. And if they did play that song, you'd be booted out of the locker room, okay?
That's right.
But that was pretty good.
I know. You prefer Kendrick Lamar. You'd have the rap going in the locker room, I bet.
Paul Coffey really controlled the music. So when we did that back then.
Oh, what was his go-to?
He's a big Bruce fan. But he had a mix of everything, though. But a huge Bruce fan. And we let him control, and he did a great job with it.
Jay Caulfield, brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. All right, Jay, we got the Four Nations starting tonight. I myself am excited to watch it. I'd like to know your feelings about it, who you think's going to win, just your general vibe about this tournament.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's going to be – I mean, it's wild that they're shutting down for almost 2 weeks. That's a tough thing, I think, that – but. For what this can get out of it, the all the eyes that are going to be on it and all the players that are in it, it's a chance to showcase inside of these four countries the greatest players that play the game. And I think anybody that has a chance to represent their country, I think that's what an honor that would be. So I think all those guys, they all feel the same way, a lot of pride that goes with it and bragging rights. But I think they'll be heated. I mean, it's not going to be heated like – Mike, but you go back to Canada, U.S., it can get that way. And I expect it to be, you know, just great theater, if you will. But I think it's all going to depend on goaltending. And I think everybody that's a part of it, they're loving that they're in this moment. And the guys that are out of it certainly feel that it's nice to get a break, but they'd all love to be in it.
Well, Jay, you just hit on something that I think will be the difference of this tournament. I think all of these teams have just outstanding players up front. I would never want to put Canada on the power play. I'll start there. But you said goaltending.
Yeah.
And when I look at goaltending on these four nations, to me, the distinct advantage is with Team USA. And I say that because the depth they have, starting with Hellebuyck and Ottinger's another guy. And you look around, there are good goaltenders everywhere. But these guys, I think, have a decided edge. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I whoever's going to rise to the occasion, the pressure that's going to be on the goaltenders in this whole tournament, this quick tournament against, you know, as we know, the greatest talent that's in the game, it's going to be extreme. And I think for Hellebuyck, I think if he just plays to the way everybody knows he can, then that really gives Team USA a really big advantage, and I think he's been out nothing short of outstanding for the last number of years, and I know he's looking forward to representing the USA in a big way. And if they do get that goaltending, Bob, I'm totally with you. That gives them a leg up I really believe that, because if you look at the Canadian side, I wouldn't look at that in field, but he might. He's won a cup. He's had the ability to turn it around. I mean, turn games around. He needs to do this in a short tournament. I still lean towards Hellebuck for me. Isn't that good?
Jay, I just read a story, by the way, an interesting one on Canada's failure to develop goalies over the past many, many years. But that's sort of a side note. Yeah. These international tournaments are always highly intense. Do you find that? And do you expect it to be NHL playoff-like atmosphere?
I think it's going to grow to that. First of all, you're going to get Canada-USA on Saturday night, if I'm correct, right? I think that's the game on Saturday.
That's the last one in Montreal. Montreal.
Yeah. I think you're going to see it grow to develop, and I think it's going to depend on if we're lucky enough, and I don't know how this plays itself out, but if we're lucky enough to get Canada-USA in a final, then I would expect you to see it be really pretty. I'd expect you to see the intensity be really extremely high. I would. And you know what I think? Because there's so many players that are you know, when you look at who you're going out there with and Crosby being out there, I think all the players to a man, the respect level is so high, right? It's so high. I don't expect somebody to run, you know, take a run at him like what might have happened years ago. I just don't see that happening, but it certainly could. I mean, Sidney, he gets involved in it. He brings it out of people, right? Just because of how he's, the aggression, how he plays the game at a highly skilled level, but he's aggressive, and he's if you don't play him hard, he'll embarrass even the best players that play the game. So I think it's going to get nastier as it goes on. I don't know what the first couple games will be like, but as you get closer to the end and a potential, you know, the championship game, I do think it's going to be at a high level.
So Jay, this is an interesting debate, and it's, you can never satisfy it. You know, Billy Guerin has the job of trying to assemble this roster. And I noticed in seeing it, I mean, there's some obvious guys, but, and I say this out of due respect to all of them, Chris Kreider, Vince Trocheck, Brock Nelson are on this team. But guys who are not on this team, and I was stunned when I found Cole Caulfield. I assume that's no, is that a relation to you? I don't think so.
No.
Okay, but he's really good. Cole Caulfield playing in Montreal, I thought would be a choice for Team USA. Tage Thompson, to me, is a guy who has been just a sniper goal scorer, and there's certainly others in that, you know, I mean, Jason Robertson, I don't know what kind of year he's had. He had a really good rookie year last year, but you know what I'm saying? Younger guys. So I'm wondering the thought process of Billy Guerin and, you know, Mike Sullivan trying to put together this roster when you have older guys. Obviously, they have experience, but these younger guys have, I think, more talent and speed at this point.
Yeah, I think it's going into the – I think it's – I even look at Brian Rust, for example.
Exactly.
He could do multiple parts of it, but the Cole Caulfield part is a really good point, Bob. I think it's about building a team. Like, is Cole Caulfield going to be great in that role as a third or fourth line guy? Right? Is he going to be a checking forward? I think that's what comes into play, Bob. So if they look at what their forwards are up front, who's going to be the power play guys? Who's going to be the second unit? Now Cole Caulfield's a sniper. Now, he's going to fit on a power play unit. But if you look at the rest of the roster, I mean, the Kreider thing, really down year, right? So, I mean, almost non-existent when they played the Rangers the other night. So, but they're going off of what I believe Billy Guerin's trying to build, a roster, a team that goes out there and understands their roles as a third and fourth line guy. What are you going to do for us? I can't have a small forward that's not getting the same minutes as the top six and expect them to be able to grind against what Canada's putting on the ice. I think that's what goes into the thought process for Mike Sullivan, Team USA management, Billy Guerin. They're building a team, not just taking the best and most skilled players, because certainly that Cole Caulfield would fit into that category, Bob. But I think it's about what I just said. I think they're trying to build a roster that says, okay, we're a short tournament. I need guys that can handle, be heavy, be big against Canada and the likes of Sweden and Finland. But they're really looking at Canada, right? We know. I mean, you got to watch them stumble against the Finns or Swedes. So, and that's not taking them lightly. I think everybody just wants to focus on Canada, U.S. And if you're building a roster, how do we stop the likes of McDavid, McKinnon, and Crosby if I go down in my lineup? I can't have small forwards that can't handle less minutes, but I need big bodies that can get stuff done. I believe that's how they're approaching it.
But Couple more minutes here with Jay Caulfield. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. You want to weigh in on the text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Obviously, it's a little break in the NHL season, Jay. So let's look at a couple of mid-season or thereabouts awards, if you wouldn't mind. Who's your MVP? Nathan McKinnon, Draisaitl, somebody else? McDavid again? Is he going to get it? Who do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the top of the... I mean, Draisaitl's 15 points ahead of McDavid right now, right? I'm not... They are dynamic, and they're two different players. McKinnon, with what he's doing, Kucherov's going to find himself. Watch how he heats up later in the year. But in the midway point, I almost would lean towards a Draisaitl situation here for me, because, you know, in the shadows of McDavid, and he just does his thing, but he brings something. When McDavid was suspended, Draisaitl steps up, just as we saw Malkin and Crosby over the years, right? So I'm just going to lean towards Draisaitl halfway through the year.
All right. How about the most surprising development so far in the NHL, either positive or negative? Like maybe the Rangers stinking, or the Capitals being the President's Trophy team right now, or second to Winnipeg? What is it?
I'm going to go with the two you just mentioned. The Capitals, for me, that's a great story. How they built it, what they've done, management, what they put together on the ice. So I'm going to go to positive is definitely, for me, is the Washington Capitals. And the negative, I'm staying in the same conference. I can't believe where the Rangers are at. This has made the wild card spot become available to teams that have been mediocre through the first 50 games. Nobody thought the Rangers would be battling for that kind of spot, especially with their lineup, they seem in disarray. And they seem, when they played the Penguins, even though the Penguins were good, the Penguins played the Rangers, they had a great game. And they attributed to the Rangers looking lethargic, because I thought the Penguins were faster on top of it. But their star players, I noticed Trocheck, I noticed JT Miller, I didn't notice Panarin. When your star player like that is not showing out on a game night, that's trouble. And if they don't straighten it out pretty soon, it's going to be tough for them. They got Shesterkin, one of the best goalies in the game, signed to a big contract. I think the Rangers are the true disappointment in the NHL, and I don't know how long of a leash, coaching staff, whatever it might be, if they're flat for games out of the break, I can see them making a move. They need to turn it around, and they laid an egg against the Penguins, but if you're a Ranger fan, you'd be disappointed with that.
And it's funny, because I'm just looking at a preseason article here, which had the Rangers as one of the teams to, you know, compete for the conference championship, and the Capitals not so much. They were picked way down, and then they add Logan Thompson, which was a great trade for them, I think. He didn't have a place to play in Vegas, and now he's turned out to be maybe Vezina material. I mean, that's part of the biggest surprise of one of the biggest surprising teams, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, it really is. And, you know, how each and every week we talk about goaltending and how important it is. Well, certainly that has been a huge part of the story. They hang in, they battle, Ovechkin with it. I think the excitement around it, those guys are coming to play every night because every game is kind of under the spotlight. So I think that's attributing to the excitement that they have going on in Washington. But, again, Bob, that's a great point, because without that goaltending, they're not in this position. So he has been that good, and what a pickup, and what, you know, he's running with it. He and Lindgren combined, it's a great tandem. They're doing a great job, but can they sustain it? But it's funny, when you watch that, if the Penguins play the way they've been, and let's say you get yourself in and you have a draw, there's something about, we know, the Ovechkin-Crosby matchup with Malkin involved, attack, all that goes with that, it would be really interesting. They are grinding out points, or Washington. They work hard each and every night, but it's going to be tough. They need to get that goaltending all the time to kind of stay where they're at. And every once in a while, that slips itself up. So, but they are the best, in my opinion, they are the greatest story of the NHL season right now.
All right, Jay, let's finish with the important stuff. I sent you a video of my golf swing and how I'm rebuilding it this offseason. You were mightily impressed, weren't you?
I was impressed. So I told you that. I thought it was great. It was very nice. I think you have to go back to what we did say last week, Bob and I said, that swing looked nice. And then And you still mentioned about your driver, and believe me, I think everybody, even I'm telling you, if people just had that swing naturally, it's not a bit, you know, that's great. But when you're struggling in any part of your game, you know, then you press. But if you keep that and use that mentality we talked about, how you go to the basketball line, you know, go up to the free throw line, I think that mentality will help you with that part of it. But your swing looked good. What did Bob think?
Oh, I thought it looked good too, but I'm, you know, I'm worried about the 6-inch putts, meaning the between ear to ear, the 6 inches there, because that mental part of this gets in the way. You have a good swing, but your thought, from my observation, Joe, is that you overthink everything. Yeah. You're thinking about so many parts of your swing, and when you do that, you put yourself in absolute limbo. It's got to be less analysis in your head while you're swinging. You should just get out there and just look at the target, and everything you've practiced should come into play, the so-called muscle memory.
Jay, your advice about the free throw shooting, how I should incorporate that, unsolicited, the teacher who was in that video, Ed Wittmeyer, he said that. He said, don't worry, when you shoot a free throw, which you obviously can do, you're not thinking about how you're bringing your arms back or anything. You're just thinking about, from the point of impact, how you flick your wrist. He said, stop worrying about how you bring the club back and all that crap that you get fouled up on mentally, and start worrying about the point of impact through the ball. That's it. And you'll eventually reach a point where you don't have to think of it, just like the free throws.
Right.
That was great advice, Jay, from you.
Well, thanks, Joe. I'm glad you got that. Hey, the Wittmeyer, though, it's nice to hear it. It's nice to have that backed up by Bob and the Wittmeyers, by the way. They're the players. That's very good. I'm glad to hear that, though, Joe.
Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome, guys. Great to talk to you.
Jay, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to golf season. It's right around the corner, buddy. Yeah, almost here.
All right. You got it, Bob. All right, Joe. You guys take care.
See you, Jay.
So he likes
USA. Smart, huh?
He likes USA too. I do. I think USA is going to win this whole tournament.
Forget about that, Bob. I'm talking about the golf sport.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's really smart.
It is.
You can tell Mario would like him as a trainer and all that.
But he also plays fast. He doesn't mess around. He practices a lot. And I think that's where it all starts. You know, you practice, you get it in. And then once you get out there, don't think about anything except your target.
I don't know, Bob. Am I that passionate about who wins? The four
you just
nations.
Want to be entertained.
Not
I
really.
Get it.
I just want to be entertained.
But if you had to pick a team, I just think that as much as I don't like some of the guys who were snubbed off the USA team, I do think their goaltending is a big advantage.
Big advantage. And that story I read blew my mind today about how Canada can't produce goalies anymore.
No.
And all the different, like, strange reasons for
it. Patrick Waugh, and then it's been like a massive fall off ever since then, really, in terms of outstanding goaltending.
It's crazy.
Montembaum is one of these guys. And
Ricardo Montembaum?
Yeah, Rich Crush Corinthian Leather.
Remember on Saturday nights, Bob, it was Fantasy Island and...
Oh, yeah, the plane.
And Love Boat, back-to-back.
Love Boat with Gavin... What's his name?
McLeod.
Yeah. As your captain. Love Boat.
Exciting and new. I love that song, Bob. Who was the hostess on the boat? What was her name? I can't remember.
I don't know. I remember Ginger and Marianne from the Gilligan's Island.
No. The bald guy was on the boat. He was the captain, Merrill Steubing.
Well, that's Gavin Newsom, isn't it? Or Gavin Newsom. That's Gavin McLeod. It could be Gavin Newsom. He had a lot of hair.
It is Gavin McLeod. You're right.
He was Merrill Steubing, right?
Yeah, Captain Merrill Steubing.
Okay.
Yeah. Limits, have you ever gone back and seen some of those old school shows?
Not that show in particular, no.
Do you know who Ricardo Montalban was?
No.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, and I don't really want to go on a cruise.
Funny you ask me that. My friend Jason Bumbliss, the head basketball coach at Beaver High, they're having a very nice year, Bob. One of his friends is trying to convince him to go on a cruise, and he asked me what I thought of it. I said, I've never been on one, but I'm afraid of people, and I don't know that I would love it.
Well, I've been on a cruise, and I didn't like
limits.
To be honest.
People.
I mean, there's too much that goes into it that I don't want to deal with. Like, as soon as you get on, you got to go through the safety thing. It takes like all day.
Bob, do you like Party Mix?
Yeah. I mean, I don't crave it, but if it's available.
What does that mean to you, Party Mix? I say Party Mix, you think what? A little bit of Chex, a little bit of pretzels, perhaps some peanuts and M&Ms?
Oh, I thought you meant like an alcoholic Party Mix.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, I mean, anything. I'd rather go straight. I don't like mixing them all together. If it's there, I'll eat it. If not, then I don't
choose
to.
Do you like chocolate-covered pretzels?
No. My wife loves them.
They're right out on the deck.
I know Sarah does a great job with those things, but no.
We sure do like pizza, though, don't we? From Slice on Broadway.
Slice on Broadway always delivers.
We're eating it.
And they deliver. But they deliver even though if they don't deliver, they still deliver.
Because
they deliver the taste.
Right. It's absolutely incrinculent. Coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Bob, what's going on here? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is getting worse than the Baseball Hall of Fame. They'll let anybody in, except in baseball's case, the best players of all time. They'll let anybody in, Bob.
Who got in this time?
I'm going to tell you what the 14 nominees are, and you give me two that deserve it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Bad Company, I'll read them and then you tell me. Bad Company, The Black Crows, Mariah Carey, Chubby Checker. How is Chubby Checker not already in the Hall of Fame, Bob?
He will go in the seniors committee.
That's ridiculous.
That?
Joe Cocker, Billy Idol, Joy Division / New Order. What? Cindy Lauper? No. Mana? Is that how you say that?
Mana? Bless you.
Oh, thank you. Oasis, Outkast, Fish, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes. Bob, there's two people on that list that should go in right now, and I can't believe that they're not in. And then there's people like the Black Crows. Like, I like a couple of their songs, but Hall of Famers?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're
Harold Baines. You know some of their songs, right. But it's about a whole career. It's not just about a couple of songs.
I know.
Chubby Checker has to be in.
Chubby Checker
should be in. Just because of what he represented and the music at that time.
And Cindy Lauper should be in.
I think Billy Idol should be in.
How about you, Limits? Do you have any opinion here? Have you heard of anybody on that list?
I've heard of a couple on that list for the most part. But, I mean, it just seems like maybe they should go small hall like the NFL did this past year with just four.
Maybe they should.
Just get Cookie to vote. None will get in.
Joe Cocker? I mean, he seems like a Hall of Famer, Bob.
Yeah, I suppose. Some will make a case for Mariah Carey, but I only associate her with Christmas time. That's it.
I think Cindy Lauper is one of the most original artists who ever lived. She was great.
She was okay. I wouldn't put her in.
No?
No.
She's more of a Phil Garner type to you.
Yeah,
solid player on a winning team.
Exactly. And you know, sort of a platoon player.
Chubby Checker's a legend. We agree on that.
I don't understand why not in anyway.
You're right. I'm outraged that he's not already in. He's a legend. He belongs in. Bad Company. I don't know if I would recognize a song. Would you?
Yes, you would.
What?
I don't know the name of the song, and I don't try to sing it to you.
There you go. That's what I'm
but
saying.
If you heard the songs, you would know what I'm talking about.
The White Stripes? What are they?
Cigarettes.
I don't know.
I never heard of them either.
Soundgarden, I know people probably. Are they one of the Seattle bands? I don't know what they are.
I don't know.
Limits doesn't know. I don't even know what Joy Division is, Bob. Do you?
I don't know.
But Joe Cocker with all the...
Joe Cocker's the name. And
he's a legend,
yeah,
too.
I think so. I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll get him in there. All right. Come on. Chubby Checker, he popularized the twist, Bob.
The twist is one of the great, and his music, to go along with that, started with his music, and then the twist was born. Terrific. That's generational talent right there.
I can't imagine. Just for that, in 1960. It's like Mazeroski, the same year, his homer in Game 7. I mean, he was great, but that got him into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
The twist from 1960 should get Chubby Checker into
the
Hall of Fame.
It's sort of like Mel Blunt changing the rules, Heinz Ward, with a rule change dedicated to him and him only.
Now, Bad Company has the song Shooting Star. How does that go? Don't you know I am? How does that go?
I don't recognize that.
If you it's not are like you were having, what you say, you are.
Yeah, you were having hiccups in the middle of your delivery.
Shooting Star. Is that it?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. That's the whole thing.
Do you remember the one song that...
I feel like... What's Feel Like Making Love, Bob? Can you sing that
you're
one?
You're asking me?
I feel like that one...
I feel like making love.
Yeah, that's the one. Those are kind of legendary. What were you going to say?
Well, the way you sang that song there, whatever you did, it reminded me of the...
Don't you know I don't know how
who
it goes.
Was the
I'm thinking
who,
of it in my head.
They had a song that goes, and he would always, like, he wouldn't complete the actual word. It would be, look at E, I'm as helpless as a kitten.
Who's that?
A tree.
Who's that again?
I forget the guy's name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he doesn't do the whole word.
Yeah, so
I know exactly who you're talking about. I thought Fish was a Grateful Dead knockoff, Limits, no?
I don't know why you're asking me. I have no idea. Fish. I've heard of the band.
Can
I don't
you
know
sing any of these other songs, Bob?
Fish is a member
sing
of Diamond
twist.
Run. He invites Joe to play golf. Yeah,
that's Andy Fish. I mean, Jim Fish.
No, Jim Fish.
How do you sing the twist, Bob, if you could?
I'd have to see the lyrics. I like the twist.
Can you
I'm a good
get
twister.
Bob the lyrics to that song? It's legendary.
Oh.
Limits. Just text him.
Fish is from Burlington, Vermont. That's where I played my wiffle ball tournament.
Really?
Right from around there. I think it was like 20 minutes from Burlington, but yeah.
Was there a sign there that says you're now in the home of Fish?
No, but it should be you're swimming with the fishes, something like that. Their songs automatically play.
I don't know, Bob. I'm depressed. Outkast, I don't even... What is that? Is that a hip-hop group? I don't know. Have you heard of them?
I've heard some of their music. I don't remember. Don't ask me to sing it, but I know that I've heard some.
Bob, text line says Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis. Look at E. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. That's who it was, Johnny Mathis.
Hold on a second. Wipe everything I just said off the board. Seriously. Except for Chubby Checker. Okay? It should be Chubby Checker and Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper or Lauper, I don't know, wrote one of the greatest songs of all time, time after time.
Time after time.
If you know I will be there, I will be there.
Well, again,
waiting.
You said it has to be more than just one song.
Bob after Bob. I mean, that seriously is one of the, even my daughter likes that. She doesn't listen to artists from back then. They all know that song.
No, it's a great song.
That song, she belongs in the Hall of Fame.
For one song.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know any other Chubby Checker songs, do you?
I'm sure if you listened to them, you probably would recognize them.
No, I'm sorry. Time after time belongs. She belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Do they go by the way the NFL does it?
If you're lost, you can look and you will find Bob. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be wait. Bob, join
look
in.
Look at that. You have the lyrics in front of you. I don't. And you just hit a high note.
I know.
I like that.
It's one of the greatest songs ever written. Pink sings it too.
Song. Yeah.
No, it's not, Bob. It's a legendary, iconic song.
But how do they
and maybe the greatest song about missing somebody that's ever been written.
Do they eliminate as they go? Do they go from 25 finalists, then do you go down to semifinalists, then to
so many? I don't know how they do it. And then Ron Cook tells them they can't get in because of drug use. I don't know.
That may take the whole field away.
Exactly. You'd have one person in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Come on, come all for the wheel of ball.
It would be Frankie Avalon all by himself in there, or Engelbert Humperdinck. Bob, I'm really disappointed in you right now that you just called that a pretty good song.
It is a pretty good song.
It's one of the 10 greatest songs ever written, is what it is.
Now you're going
no,
way
I'm not.
Off.
I am not going too far. I'm not. Do you want to sing it, Limits? Go ahead. Sing Cyndi Lauper, Time After. You know the song, right?
No, I got to forget the lyrics up in front of me, but yeah, I know the song.
Everybody knows the song. That's the whole point, Bob. She needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm writing my Post-Gazette sports column about this tomorrow. I'll turn it into a sports column. I'm going to be there.
I like the line about drug use. If they penalize for that, then none of them are going to get in.
And Ron would be the one to keep them out? All right. What did Ben Charrington say? I find this actually way less interesting than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You can use the Cyndi Lauper because it's the same time after time.
Yeah, time after time. This sounds like Ladarius Green in a baseball uniform. They signed a guy who's already hurt.
He said, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. Here's Spencer Horwitz.
Spencer Horwitz. What did he say? Was he asked when this happened? Can we hear the is the audio legible here, or do you just want to say what he said?
We can try the audio, but I'd rather say it to you. It's a little muffled that Ben Charrington said that the Pirates knew Spencer Horwitz had symptoms of wrist issues at the time that he was acquired via the trade, but the team still felt comfortable enough to make the move.
And then what?
He added that the issues that led to Horwitz's surgery surfaced after Pirates Fest.
He got injured at Pirates Fest?
After Pirates Fest.
Signing too many autographs.
So maybe our theory
of shaking Mackey's hand. I don't know which one.
Him on the field with the kids playing with the plastic bat at the convention center. Maybe he hurt his wrist there.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find Bob. Time after time. Come on, you guys. It's one of the greatest. All together now. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Time after time. Come on, Bob.
I just was amazed how you shimmied right there. You shimmied or you were just... The get to the high note, did you see what he did?
That thing is... He
went like this.
He's got his hand in the air like he's the conductor of the orchestra.
Bob, it's a tearjerker. After my picture fades and darkness has turned to gray, watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. I'm going to cry reading it. It's about people we've lost.
That's
secrets
a nice song.
Stolen from deep inside, and the drum beats out of time. Come on. I'm getting goosebumps just reading the lyrics. Never mind singing.
Okay.
I know I can't convince you.
It's a good song.
You didn't even sing it with us, did you?
Because I don't have the lyrics, and I don't want to... I'll be in the chorus with you.
Sing something else, then. Just sing something. Sing an Elvis song. Off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head. The last time I did this, I came up with the microwave version, which I can't remember. The Elvis microwave. Why did that happen?
Because you were... I don't remember. I don't remember why we got into Elvis that day. Because you had called us naked from your hot tub, me and Ron, and you were singing... in the hot tub, Elvis, and it sounded good, so we asked you for a reprise of it, and you were great. You were fantastic.
Oh, my. You probably have that in there somewhere, which I don't know.
We may play that at our fanniversary, by the way. I don't know what to say about Spencer Horwitz. They went out and got a guy with one arm. What do you want me to say? Don't you think they should have doubled down on the research
on
him?
Let's assume he doesn't play early on. Who plays at first base then? They don't have Connor Joe anymore.
Dr. Pepper?
No,
Bob?
I'm not.
Ron used to drink this.
I don't like diet drinks. I'm trying just to drink water as best I can.
I think of Ron often, I find. I was thinking of him this morning. I was thinking of him when I came in today. I think of Ron probably more often than I should. And even drinking a diet Dr. Pepper gets me thinking of Ron. If Ron's lost, he can look and he will find me.
Time after time.
Very nice.
That was great harmony.
Bob, I don't know. Who do you think will play first? You want Hank Davis over at first?
A guy who
can't hit or field? Who do you want over there?
Well,
I understand your reasoning.
Is it going to be Andy Rodriguez?
I forgot about him. Another guy who only plays with
Bart's
one arm.
Bart's going to catch, so does he play there? Where does he go?
I don't know.
Oh, I know who's going to play. The first two names that Ben Cherington mentioned were Derek Hall and DJ Stewart.
What?
As options.
I'm telling you right now, I've never heard of either human.
Do you know who they are?
This is like when Tomlin, what did he say about those Deco and Echo coming in?
The two linebackers.
Yeah, the two. Who? DJ Stewart and who?
Hall. Somebody named Hall.
Somebody named Hall. What about Brian Reynolds?
Nah, they won't do that. They tried. I mean, they worked him out over there. But who plays left field then?
I don't know. Maybe Hall or.
Do they hope Jack Cerwinski suddenly finds a consistent bat?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. It's never happened in his whole career. Why would it happen now?
He has the power. It's just that he strikes out too much.
Who are the two guys Tomlin always talked about?
Man, it's a big day. Maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eco, man, who just got here.
I still don't know who they are.
Man, it's a big day. Maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eco, man, who just got here.
Bob, if you had to choose between Ade and Eco, who would you have chosen?
I would take Eco.
Me too. Definitely Eco.
I think Eco has a lot more out to offer than an odd day.
Who are these two guys, Limits? Do you have any background on them? I honest to God don't. Have you ever heard of them, Bob?
No.
Who are they?
I assume they're in their system and
Well, Derek Hall is a 26-year-old designated hitter and first baseman that bats left-handed, who last year did not play in the majors. He was in the minors.
Are all his extremities functioning?
I think so. His best experience came in 2022 with Philly when he hit 9 home runs and 16 RBIs in 41 games.
Mm. And how about the other guy?
So DJ Stewart has a little bit, yeah, I know, a little bit better of a track record. He played for the Mets. Mm. He's bounced around a little bit. He's more so of an outfielder. Last year, he batted 177 with 19 RBIs, playing for the Mets.
Perfect.
His best season came in 2021 with 12 home runs and 33 RBIs. So similarly, with Adam Frazier, we're trying to bring 2021 back into 2025.
How about Jared Triolo? That'll be the de facto.
Triolo? Yeah.
He'll play first base because he played a little bit of that last year. So they'll probably do that, even though he's supposed to be this utility guy for all positions.
That might not be the worst option. Another guy who can't hit, but at least he can field.
Yeah.
I'll take anything at this point.
He won a gold glove last year.
Although Deion, we mentioned that when you came in, right? He reported that the main move is yet to come. Or I shouldn't say he reported that. He said he was told that by people, that they think their main move is about to come.
Maybe Ade and Echo play baseball.
Maybe.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, what could it be? Listen, they have enough assets in their minors and pitching that they can trade some of them away and get something in return. Would that constitute a big move? I think so. Before they come up here and prove maybe that they can't be consistent enough on the mound, they have really high expectations, most of these guys. I think Chandler will be here, but you know, Harrington's a guy that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
And there are others down there who are...
I'll tell you
capable of bringing in a return, I suppose.
Other impressions early from spring training, the Noah Constrictor, Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette with a little video. First look at Ke'Bryan Hayes. Couldn't help but notice him walking around with a big smile this morning. Word is he's feeling good, which of course is big for the Pirates. Bobby feels good every spring training. It's the season that presents problems.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I am legitimately excited about. He also has a video of two guys throwing side by side, and their names are Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler. How soon do you think before Chandler gets in here?
Now.
You want him to, but do you think he will?
No. They'll defer to Bailey Falter, and I don't know if Oviedo is going to be ready for the start of the season, but he's one of those guys that, you know, they're decent in roles 4 or 5. Bailey Falter at times did okay, wasn't consistent enough, but eventually. Guy like Chandler's got to force one of them out. And that's what I'm saying. You can manipulate some of these guys in their minor leagues who are ready to play but don't have a spot. The one loaded position they have are potential starters, guys who are blue chip prospects. You can trade some and get something in return that you don't have because they don't have, as we've just discussed with what's the name, Hall and Derwin what?
DJ Stewart.
DJ Stewart. You know, they don't have guys to play those positions. Go out and get one. Trade one of your assets.
Man, I agree. All right, Bob. Thank you.
That was an unusual segment right there.
Yeah, it was. Somebody named Real Non-GMO. Another coward who doesn't use his name, of course, on social media. He hated it, Bob. And he's swearing at me now on social media. Very angry coward. Real Non-GMO. Anywho.